Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. That's right. We are coming to you live from the End of the World Celebration Headquarters, which is tonight, the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and tonight, well, you know, let me get straight to the point. If you can hear my voice and you are listening to Coast AM right now, the world hasn't ended yet. Nope. Well, not yet. It's 10 p.m. here in Los Angeles, so we have 2 hours until midnight. And at 12:01, it'll be the 24th. And if we're still here, we'll just continue the party, okay? That's the point. But why the concern? Well, a doomsday prophecy in a viral video, by the way, made its way into the mainstream media over the last couple of weeks. All of it, all of the mainstream media, print, internet, TV, everybody had coverage on it. That, well, the 23rd, today, Saturday, was the end of it all. And here at the Coast to Coast Studios, iHeartRadio, you know, this is the operating center, the building that we are in, of a very large, the largest radio network in the world. Nothing bigger, right? Trust me. And I have a team monitoring right now all of the news around the world as I speak to you. And if there's anything, you know, about a seven-headed dragon wreaking havoc in the skies, I'll break into the broadcast and report it, I promise. Okay? So we can kind of relax. But what's more important right now, I've got the all clear. We're still here. The show's going to go on. And I just have to say, you know, whoo, huh, okay. So we've all been through doomsday prophecies. They've gone on my entire life, right? And since 2000, the year 2000, where, and especially that year, all of the documentaries and all the prophecies and Y2K and everything was going to come crashing to a halt. There's just way too many to list. And I don't have the time to reference them all from 2000 until 2017, because this is only a 4-hour broadcast. But, and I'm being serious too, but we know that they've all been wrong. All of them. We're still here. But the thing is, people listen. People believe. They want to believe. Some have sold their homes, quit their jobs, stopped paying taxes and their mortgages, moved their families into some underground bunker in the Midwest, only to open the hatch the next day, take a peek around, you know, and find out that nothing has changed. The world didn't end. And somebody was wrong. Somebody was way wrong. Now, if you're going to make predictions, and I'm being serious about this, if you're going to make predictions about the end of the world, well, you know, quite frankly, you'd better be right. You can't be wrong when you're predicting the end of the world. But we know that nobody ever is. Nobody's ever right. Nobody's ever pulled this off. But they do follow the same pattern, don't they? Because you hear things like, you know, after the sun comes up the next day, the world hasn't ended, the said prophecy maker says something like this. It always happens. Well, I didn't mean today. I didn't mean yesterday. You know, it's going to be next week. It's going to be next year. It's going to be next month. I got some of the numbers wrong. You know, and that's where we are right now. So here, you know, we've got 2 hours till midnight, right? So this guy, this cat, David Mead, who claimed the world was ending today when Nibiru collides with Earth, right, is now backtracking on his prophecy. But we expected that. Mead said that his prediction is based on verses and numerical codes found in the Bible, specifically in the book of Revelation, and that significant number that he based all of this on was, you know, the old faithful, the old standby in numerology, the number 33. And his prophecy was based on 33 days after the solar eclipse that just happened last month, that 33 days after the solar eclipse and the hurricanes Irma and Harvey, that those are omens of the approaching end of days. And September 23rd, today, was his day. Well, Need now says that the world won't end today. I'm using air quotes in the studio. Won't end today. Can you feel the air quotes? Can you feel the sarcasm? He says, but instead, the 23rd will only mark the beginning of a new series of catastrophic events to occur over several weeks. Okay, well, come on. Anybody can predict that, especially the way the weather's been the last month and a half. Predict an earthquake or two, you know. So anyway, I get it. We've heard it all before, and you've got to keep the story alive. So Mead's going to do just that. But the good news is we have 2 hours right now to get to midnight, right? That's all we got to do. Well, actually, it's 1 hour and 47 minutes to be precise. But if anything happens, I'll keep you posted. And what about that Nibiru thing, by the way? Well, tonight my guest is Gordon James Gianinotto. And he says that he knows exactly where that rogue planet is. So we're going to find out about that. Turn on the lights. That's what you want to do. Get comfortable. You can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. That's what you want to do, at J Church Radio. You know the drill. Twitter is live to my left. I monitor it all night long. So any questions or comments, if it's good, if it's brilliant, it'll get right on the air. Okay? Any questions or comments, post them. Enjoy the bumper music tonight. You know the theme. But there's not going to be a theme contest tonight because you're all going to figure it out after three or four songs. It's not going to take a genius. I would love to see your comments, though, about the bumper music, because even though it is what you're going to be expecting, I'm talking about the theme, but I think some of the choices are a little bit different. Why? Because it's our end of the world special. We're going to open up the phone lines. So it's a strange night for us here. We're going to do this party, this end of the world celebration here at the Coast Studios. And I decided we'll have a guest come on and talk about Nibiru and prophecies. But really, I want to hear from all of you. So we are going to do a solid 3 hours end of days radio right here on Coast to Coast. Why? Because hopefully tomorrow we're going to wake up and it's going to be another sunny, beautiful day here on planet Earth. Let's do this. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my guest, Gordon James Gianinotto. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is our end of the world special event. Now, if you can hear me so far, if you can hear me right now, so far, so good. Any breaking news, I will bust in during the show. Anything cracks around the world, I've got our complete team on it. Also, on Twitter, I want to hear from everybody around the world. Follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. Post right there on Twitter. Where do you live? What country? What state? What city? And are you okay? Check in with us. I'll read a bunch of them on the air as we plow through the evening. All right, my guest tonight, well, attorney, contractor, and ET contactee, Gordon James Gianinotto, had many childhood UFO and ET encounters. Now, he saw his first UFO back in 1964. It was a one-mile diameter mothership that launched three saucers over San Juan, Puerto Rico, in the harbor there. Now, he had his first vision of a pole shift back in 1973 in a long and detailed dream, and had a waking vision of the same thing in 1988. He realized a pole shift would bring open contact with ETs. But he also knows a lot about Nibiru. Tonight, we're going to get an update from James on Nibiru, or Planet X, whatever you want to call it, where it is, and what we can expect if and when it arrives again in our solar system. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, Gordon James Gianinotto. Gordon, good evening.
Oh, good evening. I'm so pleased to be here. This is the perfect night to have me on because, a lot of the guests you have, without naming names, are looking down. All they got to do is look up and they'll get the big picture. There's an elephant in the room.
Is the elephant in the room Nibiru? Well, you know what?
Nibiru, I call it. But, Planet X.
Right. And not to make light of it, because I've been following Planet X and Nibiru for many, many years, and I've interviewed probably hundreds of different researchers on the subject. And I know that there's something going on, and I know that there's a body of some kind out there that is influencing the gravity and things here in our own solar system. No question about it. But if Nibiru, Gordon, was here tonight impacting Earth, wouldn't we have seen it reflecting off of the sun for the last year? I mean, there, amateur astronomers from around the world would have been able to see it, right?
Well, some have. They saw it coming into the solar system, but it's next to the sun in 4 o'clock position right now. But the science, NASA announced that they had found this mysterious body out towards Orion called Planet Nine.
Right.
And that's burned out cinder of the binary twin of the sun. And our solar system stays right around our sun, but Planet X goes back and forth between planet, what they call Planet Nine, which is actually a burned out star. It's just a big cinder, and that's why it's very hard to see. And we'll probably never see it from Earth with any clarity, and it's just a smudge at best on some of the photographs. But anyway, it comes back and forth every 3,657 years. So, and it doesn't come in an elliptical orbit like most people would think. It's like paddle ball, where you have a paddle and you have a gray elastic band and then a red rubber ball, and you hit the ball and it springs back to the paddle, and then you hit it again and it goes out. So that's, it's not really an elliptical orbit at all. And so it's here now. And what happened is that the government first learned about it when they got their first live aliens after Roswell in 1947. And they were told about it, and they knew it was coming. So they, in 1983, they sent up the IRAS, Infrared Astronomical Satellite, and it caught a picture of it on infrared in 1983. And Ronald Reagan immediately signed an executive order that nobody was allowed to talk about it.
Now, well, when we say it's at the 4 o'clock position next to the sun, are you suggesting that it's like where Mercury is when you say next to the sun, or it's out beyond the sun?
It's the orbit of Venus, and it's in front of the sun. It's 30 million miles from Earth. And what happened was in 1999, well, in 1995, Nancy Leader had an implant from human extraterrestrials called the Zetas,
right,
and unselfish Zetas, and she started taking questions from the public and typing out the answers, and that's what this website ZetaTalk.com is, and it's 40,000 pages of questions from the public and answers by extraterrestrials that she typed out. Now, I'm really good friends with her, and I love having that relationship. She's a very nice person, and she, when she gets a new question and she, the Zetas answer it, she reads it to me to find the typos. So I'm as updated on what the Zetas have been saying as anyone, and I've read most of the 40,000 pages. But I had my own experiences long before that that told me it was going to happen. So in 1999, it came into the solar system. Now, do you remember when Clinton's administration, they had a rush to fix the Hubble?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, that was to take the, they tried to take pictures of Planet X coming in, and they couldn't, so they fixed it so they could, and those pictures used to be posted automatically to the internet. So the first picture it took of Planet X, it was called the Picture of Heaven, and it looked like a city with a flat line on the bottom, a city stretched out to the right and to the left, and in the center, a giant dome. Well, that went viral instantly on the internet, and then they took it down. So now if you do a search on Google to try and find the Picture of Heaven, you're going to have a lot of trouble. But I've seen it, and I could see why people would go, oh my God, Hubble took that out in space. It looks like a golden city. But it came into the outer solar system in 1999. In December of 2003, it came around it goes clockwise, and all the planets go counterclockwise. So it came around the sun going clockwise, and it came to a stop. And the reason why I came to a stop is because there's a 400-year-old lie that's never been corrected, and all of the top scientists know about this, and that is that gravity pushes, it doesn't pull. So as it came into the solar system, now it's 29,000 miles in diameter. It's an oceanic, atmospheric, and volcanic planet inhabited by 8 to 12-foot humans. And it's got hundreds of moons and rocks and iron oxide dust and hydrocarbons in the twin-stranded tail. So as it came into the solar system, it looked like a globe with wings. And NASA has the satellites, the pair of them, called the SOHO satellites. They're called Stereo Ahead and Stereo Behind.
Right.
And they never actually say where those things are, but they're always lying. But anyway, the Stereo Ahead and Stereo Behind started getting pictures of it next to the sun. So a lot of people with their finger on their mouse clicked it and saved it. So there's hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures of Nibiru next to the sun as seen from Earth, even though it's not, next to the sun itself. It's 67 million miles away in the orbit of Venus. And so Venus came to a stop going around the sun. It came up to where it felt the gravity from Planet X, and it stopped. The Earth stopped in its orbit. And then there's been a planet on the backside of the sun that nobody's ever mentioned, not even the ancient prophecies going back to India, the American Indians. Doesn't matter where you look, there's no mention, and it's called the dark twin of the Earth. And it continued to go around the sun until it too was stopped. There are many crop circles showing a bowl with three balls in it, and at the bottom of the bowl is a big ball. And the big ball is Nibiru, and it has like the three planets in a cup. And what I mean by that is if you have a house with a barn attached at a 90-degree angle and the dog's in the corner there, you're outside, the dog's outside in the corner, you want to catch the dog. So the dog darts to the right, you dart to the right, and the dog goes back to the corner and darts to the left, and you dart to the left. So that's how Nibiru has been containing. This has been going on since December of 2003. Now, the actual pole shift itself will only take an hour, and it will happen when Planet X gets 15 million miles from the Earth, and it's going to grab magnetically because its magnetic field is 23 times stronger than Earth, and it's going to grab the iron bar that goes down the Atlantic called the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. That's a line of mountains that goes undersea from Iceland to Antarctica, and it's cracked in the middle, and there's a huge upwelling of iron-rich magma. And as the Earth turns, with Planet X being next to the sun, not in front of it, and please, to all your listeners, don't try and look at the sun. Just look down and hold a cell phone camera up and take a picture of the sun and tell me that's a normal picture. And people are doing this every day around the world and posting them to this one place, Poleshift.ning, N-I-N-G.com, and you can go there and look at the latest pictures every day of Planet X. So it's real, it's here, and NASA is trying to cover this up, and so is the cabal that runs the world. They want people to keep their noses to the grindstone, pay your mortgage, pay your credit card, pay all your bills, show up at the factory, and they definitely don't want people taking their wife and kids and going to the hills. So,
well, what's interesting, I want to jump back. We've got about 60 seconds, Gordon. So quick, you said that Venus stopped in its orbit and so did Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, I am saying that. And you can prove it because they had a book of when all the asteroids were going to come through the space, through Earth, going up about 100 years. They threw that out the window because we're not in the same, we're stopped. And then whenever they tell you there's going to be the torrid meteor shower or whatever meteor shower they tell you, there's no meteors because the meteors are groups of rocks in space. And as we go around the sun, some of the rocks come through the atmosphere and make a meteor shower. But if you've noticed, and I don't know, but I'm sure some of your listeners have, that when they say there's going to be a meteor shower that night, there's no meteor shower.
Yeah, let me jump in.
Fireballs all the time. Those are rocks from the tail of Planet X.
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon, let me jump in. We're going to take a break right here. This is our end of the world special event right here on Coast to Coast. The good news is,
glad to be here. Really.
Yeah, you can hear Gordon, you can hear me, which means we're still here. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is our special Saturday night event. More with Gordon right after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast. Our very special end of the world event tonight. And I want to remind everybody, if we get through tonight, right, if it's all good, and I'm sure we will, there's a special event that's kicking off this Tuesday, September 26th. It's a part of George's special event series. It's called Eat and Greet, and it's at the Great Greek Restaurant in Sherman Oaks, right there on Ventura Boulevard. Great restaurant. Eat there all the time. It's right there in the hood, right up the street from the studio here. And this Tuesday, he's going to have author, paranormal researcher, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, great friend of the show, great person. And tickets are going to go fast, so reserve a spot now. It's very simple. Just email your name and phone number to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. And you can also check out the details in George's event section over at coasttocoastam.com. Now, I asked everybody to let me know from around the world where you are right now. Let us know that you're okay. You can do that in Twitter right now, at JChurchRadio. Follow me on Twitter so you can post it. Melissa says, Russia, New York, everything is cool. We got Buck in Limestone, West Virginia, everything is good. Liz up in Seattle says, everything is fine. Johnny D, Lawrence, Massachusetts, everything's cool. Craig in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, no issues there. We got Robin in Nebraska. Everything is fine. Ishmael in Glenville, West Virginia, says everything is cool. And New Orleans, Debbie in New Orleans, everything is just fine. Oh, I've got Crystal just came in from Milwaukee. So there you go. So far, so good. We're going to get through this, man. My guest tonight, Gordon James Giannotto. We're talking about Nibiru. Why didn't it get here? It was supposed to be the end of things. What happened to the seven-headed dragon that was supposed to do the rough-and-tumble hijinks in the skies over Jerusalem? Anybody in Jerusalem, anybody in Israel, let us know. Call into the show. Let me know via Twitter if anything is jumping off in the skies over there. This is our end-of-day special. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and everybody in the iHeart building where we are, this is the headquarters right here, is gone. Everybody is in Las Vegas doing the iHeart Music Festival, of course, on the weekend that the world is supposed to come to an end. It seemed like they had vision there. And so who's left holding the fort? It's myself, Mikey, and Donna in a huge empty building. Pretty much we can do what we want. I think in a few minutes we're going to start going through some drawers and see if there's anything that we can, you know, get out of the building in Donna's car. That's the plan a little bit later. You know, hey, why? Why not? It's the end of the world. Our guest tonight, Gordon James Giannotto. And talking about, Gordon, we were talking about Nibiru and Planet X before the break, but I wanted to hit you with this really quick as we head to some phone calls and stuff at the top of the hour.
Sure, let's do it. Why? I'm good for the whole 4 hours if you need me. That's no problem.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. Is this, Gordon, why do people believe and want to buy into these prophecies year after year after year after year? And sometimes some years we have 10, 15, 20, even 100 different prophecies, and people want to believe in this. Why?
Well, originally, the unselfish ETs had to make an agreement with the selfish ETs, who contacted the government first. So the government was in touch with very selfish ETs. They couldn't just land on the White House lawn. Instead, they started contacting unselfish people. And there was a list that Nancy Leader saw. It when MJ-12 ended around 1982, up until that time, the unselfish ETs had to present a list every year of all the people that they had contacted. So you can just imagine what they were going to do with that list. But anyway, she looked on the list and she said, my wife, Janet Stanley, was on the list. And she said, and you weren't. And I said, well, did you check the Pleiadian list? And she goes, no. So, but anyway, so gradually, people have been contacted around the world. Now, most of these contacts are happening out of the body or fourth dimensionally. The people have no conscious memory of it, but some do. But it's in the subconscious, and the numbers of contactees right now is up to 4.2 billion. And pole shift is not going to happen before all 7 billion are contacted, because what's important about pole shift is not the disaster, because you were born on a planet, you live on a planet, you're going to die on a planet. You will reincarnate if you choose, you don't have to. And so people are going to die anyway, but the point is, this is a chance to graduate to the next dimension, the fourth dimension. So this is like a last class, and nobody's allowed to leave. All the billionaires that want to build rockets and go to Mars and the moon and then come back as kings of the earth, they're not allowed to. Every time they do a rocket that has anything to do with that, the Council of Worlds, which is 1,000 unselfish races that have been here for a long, long time from all over the universe, they're here to slant this to for success. And Earth is a school. And what happened here is that there are other civilizations around the universe where they've made serious mistakes, slavery, misogyny, human trafficking, whatever you want to call it. And volunteers from those societies volunteered to be born on Earth and work out those problems. Well, as you look around you, you might think that they're not worked out. But in actuality, they have been. And the future of the human race, and the Zetas don't say this, but I've gotten this information from other sources, but the future of the human race is within 1,000 years, we're going to build a fleet of spaceships, we'll be fourth dimensional extraterrestrials ourselves, and we're all going to leave the Earth. We're going to go out to the universe, to all these other civilizations. We're going to show up. They're going to tell us what they're having trouble with. We're going to snap our fingers and say, well, we know how to fix that, and we will. So the question is, do you want to be in the graduating class? So I have my own radio show every Friday night on Revolution Radio, which they don't even own the rights to that name. So it's on Freedom's Lips, which is spelled the same way as Freedom Slips, midnight Eastern time. I'm on the radio for 2 hours a week on Friday nights. And the four subjects I discuss, usually, although I discuss anything, but are the coming open contact with ETs, the apocalypse, which is pole shift caused by Planet X, geographic pole shift, the graduation of the fourth dimension, and the new race. So anyone who wants to hear me on a regular basis, they can do that. George said, oh, you're cutting into me, Gordon, you're cutting into me, but you'll only lose the first hour of Friday nights coast to coast. So.
Well, why didn't you reach out to David Mead, or did you, to let him know that
off? Let me explain something. He is a CIA, he's on the payroll of the CIA, he's a disinformation plant. He wrote the book Rapture 2015, we were all going to die in 2015.
Right.
Now we're all going to die in... You know, the guy, you'd think he'd go away after his first book was wrong. And these people that say it's a big constellation and it's 80 times the size of Jupiter and we'll spot it out in the night sky and then it will come in and then it'll hit the Earth. That's ridiculous. All of it's ridiculous. And so I don't want to talk to him, but I do want to be fair to him. If he's listening and he doesn't like what I'm saying, he's welcome to contact me and come on my show.
Well,
we can talk it out in person.
Well, okay. But the question was that I had asked is, why is it that everybody listens to... Gordon, you're not listening to me ask the question. Hold on, okay? The question is, why do people listen to prophecies and believe them and react to them, sell their houses, quit their jobs, when every time one of these prophecies comes out, it's always wrong? But and time again, people go back and listen.
They're the smart ones, because this is going to happen, and 90% of the Earth's population will die. So I don't know if it could get much worse than that.
And do you have any idea, if you're saying that Nibiru right now is in the orbit of Venus?
Not orbiting, it's stopped. It's there the same place every day. And if you're in the southern hemisphere, it's in the 10 o'clock position because, of course, those people are upside down.
Right. No, I said in the orbit of Venus. You said it was at the distance from the sun, the same as Venus, but it stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
And how is it able to stop and not be a part of a gravitational pull or push?
There is no such thing as gravitational pull. First of all, scientists discovered a galaxy where there were two black holes, a giant one and a teensy one, next to each other, and the giant one wasn't eating the small one.
Right.
Then they discovered a black hole that was spitting out blue stars, and NASA had a press conference, and they said, those blue stars going to hit the Earth. And they said, oh, no, this is so far away, you wouldn't even know about it in a billion years.
Right.
So, but then they gave the Nobel Prize in physics to two physicists who discovered that the rate of the acceleration of the expansion of the universe is increasing. Now, everybody was taught, and some people may still be taught, that the Big Bang Theory, which is that gravity pulls, the universe exploded, everything went outward, and it's gradually going to come to a stop and then get pulled back to the center, and then it will all explode again. That's a lie. The gravity pushes, it doesn't pull. In 1988, I called the foremost gravity researcher in the world, probably, Ephraim Fishbach at Purdue University, and I spoke to him for about 4 hours, maybe five, and I said, is there any proof that gravity pushes or pulls? And he said, none, zero. And I said, well, I've been watching flying saucers, and I've concluded that they're generating gravity and they're pushing off the Earth, and that's how they move. And he goes, you may very well be right. And he said, if you were to come up with an experiment that would absolutely prove whether gravity pushes or pulls, you would probably be one of the most famous scientists in the history of the world. So I haven't been able to come up with any ideas on that subject yet, but I will say that rotation cancels gravity. The first rockets, if you remember the old NASA films of rockets taking off from the Kennedy Space Center, they were painted white and they had black vertical lines on the nose cone. And as they took off, they started rotating. Do you remember that?
I do. I do. I do.
Of rockets that were starting to turn as they took off.
Right.
Well, it turns out that no matter how carefully you mix the chemicals, when you make three booster rockets and each one has its own nozzle, there is no way to have identical thrust. So the rocket will go off to the side somewhere. So they decided initially to rotate the rockets that would balance the thrust from each of the three boosters, so that it would go straight. But then they discovered that sometimes when they were aiming for the moon, they'd end up going right by the moon and they'd be 33,000 miles off. And they're like, what the hell is this? And what it is that rotation cancels gravity. So all rockets since then have a main engine or even three main engines, but each nozzle has its own angle. It can move, it can adjust to balance the thrust. So I'm telling you, gravity pushes, it doesn't pull. It's a new thought for many people. It's just like we're not even part of the Milky Way. We're in the Sagittarius galaxy, and that wasn't even discovered till 2008. So
well, let me ask
a lot of
Gordon,
stuff that people have been told for years that's
right,
wrong.
Right. Well, Gordon, if Nibiru, are you saying that Nibiru right now is stationary?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is. So that means we are, as we orbit the sun right now, we are passing it all the time.
No, we're not orbiting. We're stopped. I said stopped.
We're stopped.
Dark twin of Earth is stopped. The Earth is stopped. Planet X is stopped. We're doing a little dance like I was describing with the dog. You're trying to catch the dog, and the dog darts to one side, darts to the other side. So the first planet to move out of this cup of gravitational cup is going to be Venus. And by that time, we'll be closer. And when we see Venus will look like the moon has crescents, you know. When you look at Venus, you'll see what look like it's a smaller crescent, and it will look like horns, and that's called the horns of Horus. And when you see the horns of Horus on Venus, you're getting close to pole shift.
Well, I'm always interested, you know, my thing is to learn. And right now I feel like I'm learning because I haven't heard any of this before. If Venus, Earth, and Nibiru are all sitting in stationary spots right now, when did, well, let me start here before I ask the next question. When did the Earth stop?
December of 2003, when going clockwise, Nibiru came around the sun facing the Earth, and the Earth stopped.
Okay, December 2003. So since 2003, hasn't there been, forget about the professional astronomers, but the amateur astronomers around the world that are looking up at the sky, and especially their GPS units and the way that telescopes are used, doesn't somebody know that we have stopped, that we're not going around the sun?
Well, yeah, millions of people know. And also, NASA is very creative. They will actually take pictures of the sky that would tell you that something's wrong, and they'll paste in. And sometimes they do it so poorly you can see the paste lines. It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. They're like, I'll tell you, people have been dying. Astronomers and people who took an oath to follow the government, they've been killed regularly. But recently the cabal threw up its hands and said that they realize they can't stop disclosure of ETs. So they're giving up on that one. But I'll just give you one example. There was a press conference in France with a couple of French astronauts at a table, and there was a female astronaut. Her name was Claudie, and she stood up and she started yelling, "The people have to be told, they have to know." And guards came in and grabbed her, brought her to a mental hospital, and the next day the news was, unfortunately, Claudie passed away last night.
Wow. Well, let's stay on this 2003 date. Nibiru, sure. Nibiru is also tied to that same December 2003 date. How does Nibiru then kickstart again towards Earth?
Oh, it's trying to. Well, there's a lot the Zetas won't tell us. They think that scientifically we're like children, and we can't really appreciate anything that they tell us. And if we could appreciate it, we'd probably end up with the cabal using it for selfish purposes. And that's why there hasn't been the extraterrestrials say they know the day, the month, the year of pole shift to exactly, and it hasn't changed. But they're not going to tell anyone because, for instance, I hear all this wondering about what the hell are chemtrails. Chemtrails are the government trying to keep you from seeing Planet X. People were seeing two suns rise, two suns set, because the density of the atmosphere at sunrise and sunset allowed you to see that there was something next to the sun. It was like a filter. So people take pictures of Planet X using welding filters, although they're not that reliable, but you need a 12. The maximum welding filter is a 14. So if you use a 12, you push the button on your digital camera halfway, which sets the focus. Then you put the filter in front of the lens, and then you point it at the sun and take a picture. You may get a picture of Planet X. Other people are using red filters. And a guy in Italy named Alberto has been taking, for 10 years now, he's been taking the most beautiful pictures of Planet X next to the sun using actually the inside of a floppy disk. He takes it apart and holds the disk up, and that's a perfect filter to get a picture of Planet X.
Yeah, I've seen some of these pictures, and they are pretty fascinating to look at. I've never seen anything like that with my own eyes or anything that I photographed. But the
you really shouldn't try, because you will. It's just like the eclipse. Don't never look at the sun.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right. But this is the other part that's puzzling to me. That if we are staying stationary, it would upset all of the navigation of ships and airplanes and the seasons and everything.
No,
that
no. You misunderstand how the GPS satellites work. They're in orbit around the Earth at 23,000 miles. Well, the moon's a quarter of a million, 225,000 miles. The sun is 93 million. So these planets, the satellites, are exactly above. In other words, you could actually run a string from the satellite and peg it into the ground, and year after year that satellite would be in exactly the same point.
No, I understand that, but
it's not attached to the Earth, but there are many satellite pictures showing the Earth wobble, which I haven't really completed explaining.
Right, Gordon, we got to take a break right here. I don't want to cut you off. We got to take a break. This is Jimmy Church, the host of Coast to Coast AM's End of the World special event. We're going to take calls right after this short break, too, with Gordon. Everybody stay right there. We'll be right back.